Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Dinged by Tommy Greenwald, narrated by Carly Robbins and Ramon de Ocampo. In American football, getting dinged equates to moments of dizziness, confusion, or grogginess that can follow a blow to the head. There are approximately 100,000 to 300,000 concussive episodes occurring in the game of American football each year. It is now known that those instances of mild concussion, or dings, that we may have previously not noticed, could very well be causing progressive neurodegenerative damage to a player's brain. Symptoms may begin years or decades later and include a progressive decline of memory, as well as depression, poor impulse control, suicidal behavior, and eventually, dementia similar to Alzheimer's disease. Given the millions of athletes participating in contact sports that involve repetitive brain trauma, this represents an important public health issue. In the future, focused and intensive study of the risk factors could potentially uncover methods to prevent and treat this disease. United States National Library of Medicine.
Prologue. I live for the game. How could I not? My dad lived for the game before me. It made him rich and famous. And when he discovered I had talent, really rare talent according to pretty much everyone I've ever met, he made it his life's mission to help me become as good as I could be. My mom had no choice but to go along for the ride, but she loves it too. The game scares her, sure, but I know the pride she feels. The pride of knowing her husband made it to the top, and of knowing that her only son is probably going to make it there too. So yeah, I was destined to play football pretty much before I was born. But don't get me wrong, it's not like anybody is forcing me to do anything I don't want to do, because I love it. I love every bit of it. I love the competition, the teamwork, the beauty, the brutality. How it's so simple and so complicated at the same time. How it's the one thing that makes me feel truly alive. And sure, I love being better than everyone else. So like I said, I live for the game. I guess the question is, am I willing to die for it?
Part 1. Clouds. Walthornnews.com. Welcome to the Jungle, a high school sports blog about the Walthorn Wildcats, by Alfie Jenks, Monday, September 7. High school football hopes rest on freshman phenom's shoulders. William Toffler has been coaching football a long time, more than 25 years by his count. So he knows what it's like to come across a once-in-a-generation talent. Enter Caleb Springer. This is a special kid, Coach Toffler says. We're super lucky to have him. Caleb, only 14 years old and a rising freshman at Walthorn High School, has been wowing people with his quarterbacking skills since his days playing for the Pee Wee Panthers as a 6-year-old. And it's no wonder. Caleb's father, Sammy Springer, played in the NFL for 7 years and was an all-pro wide receiver. Coach Toffler, who has done a great job since replacing the legendary Hall of Famer Louis Bizzetti as head football coach at Walthorn High 2 years ago, has already made clear he plans on starting Caleb right away. "This isn't a kid who needs to wait his turn," says Coach Toffler. "His poise and ability are way beyond his years. I don't want to put too much pressure on the kid, but we expect to compete for the state title with Caleb at the helm. He's ready to go." Meanwhile, Caleb's dad is excited to see his son's high school debut. "Oh, you bet. We've been waiting for this for a long time," said Sammy Springer. "Seeing my boy out there playing high school football is a dream come true. When asked if he was upset that his son didn't play wide receiver like him, the former NFL star laughed. "Are you kidding? No one gets hit harder than the little guys on the outside. He'll be a lot safer back there in the pocket, being protected by the big boys on the line." You can see Caleb Springer's high school debut for yourself this Friday night at home against Meadow Ridge.
WWHS, Walthorne High School Radio. Alfie. Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3, testing. Is this thing on? Caleb. Well, you're blasting through my headphones, so I guess yes. Alfie. Sweet! And sorry about the levels, still getting used to this new equipment. Caleb. Cool. This is all new for me, too. Alfie. Okay, so, yeah. Welcome to my first ever high school edition of Talking Sports on WWHS. This is Alfie Jenks, Associate Sports Editor. Caleb. Wait, are you a freshman too? Or should I say fresh woman? Alfie. Ha, neither. I'm a sophomore. They don't let you host your own show till you're a sophomore. Caleb. Oh, cool. Well, congrats on your first show. Alfie. Yeah, thanks. So anyway, yeah, I'm here with Caleb Springer, who is an actual freshman and who has just been named the first string quarterback of Walthorne High Wildcats. We've got a really exciting season coming up, starting with the first game this Friday night against Meadow Ridge. So, Caleb, are you ready to go? Caleb. I sure hope so. Alfie. Do you feel, like, a lot of pressure because you're so good? Caleb. Well, thanks, I guess. But I don't know about that. Alfie. You are, though. You're, like, the best quarterback Walthorne has ever had. Everyone says so. And you're only a freshman. How does that feel? Does it feel awesome? Caleb. Oh, man. Alfie. Does it, like, stress you out? Or how about the fact that your dad was a famous player in the NFL? Is that a lot of pressure too? Caleb, he's not that fame. Alfie, oh, shoot, wait, hold on a sec. I forgot something. Mr. Rashad says reporters always need to make sure our readers or listeners understand the background. Caleb, who? Alfie, my advisor, Mr. Rashad. So, for all you listeners out there, Caleb's dad is Sammy Springer, who played for the New York Jets and was, like, this amazing wide receiver and had this incredible career and made it into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Caleb, actually, that's not quite true. I mean, the Jets part is true and the wide receiver part is true. He played in the pros for 7 years, but he isn't in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He's in the College Football Hall of Fame, though. Alfie, oh, my bad. Why only 7 years? Caleb. Well, that's actually longer than most NFL players play. They get banged up, you know? Injuries and stuff. Alfie. Oh, man. Injuries suck. Caleb. They sure do. Can you say suck on the radio? Alfie. I'm not sure, to be honest. I better... This has been Talking Sports with Associate Sports Editor Alfie Jenks. Signing off. 1. Walthorne High versus Meadow Ridge High. Season record, 0-0. Buck helps block out the noise. When I first started playing football, my dad told me that my helmet was going to be my best friend, so I should give it a name. I named it Buck. I can't remember why. I've had a lot of helmets since then, and they've all been Buck. My friends think it's dumb, but I don't care. Buck's main job is to protect my head, of course. High school football crowds can be loud, though. Really loud. And thanks to Buck, it's more like a low buzzing. It's always there, but it's far away. I like it that way. It helps me think. One of the things I love most about football is how you have to think. Who does what? Who goes where? split-second decisions, when to run, when to pitch, when to hand off, when to throw, who to throw to, how to throw it. Should I throw it high and soft, low and hard? Which hole to hit, which blocker to run behind? That's all stuff you have to think about on pretty much every play. Everyone thinks football is just people smashing into other people, but it's actually a lot more than that. Although there is plenty of smashing. At the end of the first quarter, we're up 14-0. I throw a 19-yard pass to Ethan Metzger in the corner of the end zone for the first touchdown. On the second score, I get a great block from Kenny Coleman, an offensive lineman and the only other freshman on varsity, and I basically walk in from 12 yards out. We huddle up on the sideline. I hear Coach Toffler talking, but I'm only half listening. I know what to do. I have an instinct for the game that's pretty foolproof. My dad calls it a sixth sense. The coaches know it and leave me alone. So yeah, I'm not really paying attention. Instead, I'm staring across the field at the Meadow Ridge players. I know what I'm looking for. The sag. That's what my dad calls it. The sag. It's when the players on the other team lose their confidence. Their shoulders drop. They run back to the huddle with less energy. Their yells of encouragement to their teammates are a little less loud. My dad says there's a moment in every game when one team sags. Sometimes it's in the first quarter. Sometimes it's after the last play of the game. When you see it in the other team, you know you've got them. It's the final nail in the coffin, as my coaches like to say. But when you see it in your own team, it's up to you to straighten out your teammates. Because the sag is the difference between winning and losing, between sleeping well and tossing and turning, between life and death. "Bring it in," hollers our captain, this really big dude named Ron Johnson. We huddle up, the whole team, all 48 of us. Ron is screaming at the top of his lungs. "We still got work to do. No let up. These guys are tough. We need to put them away." While Ron is pumping us up, I'm still looking over at the Meadow Ridge sideline, trying to find the sag. I notice this one kid, number 72. Man, that dude is huge. I gotta make sure he doesn't touch so much as a hair on my...
"Springer! Springer! What are you doing? Are you even listening?"
Ron is staring straight at me, which means the rest of the team is too. Yeah. Nothing, Ron. Just thinking about the game.
"Well, how about thinking about the team, Mr. Greatest QB ever? Circle it up with the rest of us now."
I do as I'm told, of course. Ron is the captain. He's a senior, and he plays center, which means he's in charge of protecting me. But the thing is, even though he's a great high school player, Ron knows he's not quite big enough for major college football. So when I came along with all the attention, it kind of got him pissed off. And he hasn't stopped being pissed off about it since. "Sorry about that, Ron," I say. "Won't happen again." Ron gives a satisfied grunt, then resumes his hollering.
"Let's keep the pressure on! Wildcats on three! 1, 2, 3! Wildcats!"
We take the field for the second quarter. It's our ball, and we're on the Meadow Ridge 37-yard line and marching. Soon it's going to be 21-0, and I'm going to look for the sag again. And this time, I bet I'll find it. Sports is all about confidence, right? That's another one of my dad's favorite phrases. He says it all the time.
"Sports is all about confidence. And you know what else is? Life. Life is all about confidence. Believing in yourself is half the battle. That's just the way it is."
I'm thinking about that, and about how once we score this touchdown, Meadow Ridge is going to realize it's the beginning of the end. I'm thinking about my dad, and that smile he gives me after a good game, and the hug my mom is going to give me when she says what she always says after every game. "Thank God you're okay." And I'm thinking about Nina, even though she's not here. If I'm lucky, she'll show up after the game ends. She can't stand football. She calls it disgusting and barbaric and thinks it should be illegal. That's one reason people find it so hard to believe we like each other. But you know what? My hunch is that even though Nina says she hates football, and part of her definitely does, there's another part of her that thinks it's cool to be dating the hotshot quarterback. She would never admit that, of course. Never in a million years. I'm thinking about all that stuff, Nina and my mom and dad, and waiting for the kids from Meadow Ridge to sag, instead of what I should be thinking about, which is the play we're about to run. I yell, "Hut!" We're running an option play, meaning I can either run the ball or pitch it to our tailback, Mitch Sellers. He's wide open, and his hands are outstretched, waiting. But I lose my concentration for a fraction of a second, and I hesitate, and by the time I decide to pitch to him, he's covered. So I have no choice but to keep the ball and turn upfield. And right as I shift my body, I see the giant kid, number 72, who's pretty quick, and he's bearing down on me, and I try to run away. But I just end up swinging my head right toward his left shoulder pad, and I close my eyes and wait for the impact, and it comes. Crash. No, more like crash. And it feels like Buck crumples up like a Coke can, and I hear a ringing sound that gets louder and louder, and then softer and softer.
WWHS, Walthorn High School Radio, transcript of play-by-play, Alfie Jenks and Julian Hess. Alfie, whoa, that was some hit. Caleb Springer decided to keep the ball on the option play and was met head-on by number 72 on Meadow Ridge, Gerard Clemens. Julian, ouch, that looked like it hurt. Alfie, I don't know about that decision by Caleb there. He's usually really smart about that kind of stuff. Julian, yep, he looked like me in algebra class, completely lost. Alfie, just a really hard hit, but Caleb is a tough kid and I'm sure he won't make that mistake again. Julian, if he does, we're going to need some super glue out here to stick his head back onto his shoulders. Alfie, you're using some very colorful phrases today, Julian. Julian, thanks. Alfie, anyway, that brings up a 3rd and 2 at the Meadow Ridge 39-yard line.
And I see those bright lights that you can see even when your eyes are shut really tight and their reflections shoot through my head like I have eyes everywhere that follow the bright lights around. And I know I'm lying down, even though I can't really feel the ground. No, wait. I'm standing up. No, I was right the first time. I'm lying down. And the only thing I can hear is my breath. And I open my eyes, and slowly noise comes back. Then I see feet around me. And someone is bending over, but I'm not sure who. Caleb? It's Kenny. You good? Yep, I say. Buck saved my ass. Kenny puts out his two hands, and I grab them and try to hop up. The hop is important. It shows you're okay, you're tough, you're good to go. I feel myself wobble for a second, but Kenny steadies me so quickly I don't think anyone notices. I look over at the sidelines and give them a thumbs up, then run back to the huddle. I'm not going to give anyone a chance to think about whether or not I should stay in the game. I'm okay, and that's all there is to it. We huddle up. It takes me a few seconds to focus. I wait for someone to bring in the play from the sidelines. Everyone is looking at me, waiting for me to say something.
"Are you sure you're okay?" Ron asks. That dude clocked you for real.
I'm not sure if Ron saw me wobble, but I know this much. There's no way I'm telling the captain of the team I'm not okay. You don't do that in football. I give Ron a quick nod. He gladly decides to believe me. The new play comes in. I bark it out to the team. We clap our hands and break the huddle. 4 plays later, we score. Meadow Ridge sags. We end up winning 46-6. 2. As soon as the coach finishes his post-game speech, I head off to find my parents. It's been that way since the first game I ever played. When I get to my mom, she grabs my head with her hands. Thank God you're okay. She's been around football ever since college, when she met my dad, and she loves it, or she's learned to love it. And she loves the life it's given our family. My dad is where he always is, leaning against the bleachers, waiting. Most of the dads stick together during the games, screaming and hollering, smacking each other on the back after wins, congratulating each other, trying not to brag about their own sons, but bragging anyway, finding their sons afterward and high-fiving them, taking group pictures, and stuff like that. My dad doesn't do any of that. He prefers to watch the games quietly, off to the side with my mom. He waits for people to come to him. He always waited for people to come to him. Even his own son. When I reach him, he gives me a hug. He's still the strongest person I've ever met, so his hugs hurt. And a big smile. Then he sticks out his hand, and I shake it. A formal handshake, like always.
Way to bring it, Kay,
he says, calling me by my nickname. Thanks, Dad.
You looked really sharp out there, really sharp. Freshman QB, I mean, come on!
He tries not to show it, but I can tell how proud he is of me, and how happy he is that his son is a good football player. That's another reason why I love the game so much. I try to keep my voice even and cool. Yeah, it was fun. My dad bellows out a loud laugh.
Fun? Fun? Dude, you rocked it.
Then he takes a step back and gives me a once-over.
You get rung up a little bit, though.
My mom frowns. Rung up? My dad immediately makes light of it.
Rung up, honey. You know, like getting your bell rung. Just a little knock, that's all.
She grabs my hand and twirls me toward her. What happened, Caleb? Nothing, Ma, I'm fine. Was it that sack in the second quarter? Did something happen there? My mom's eyes search the field, which is always crowded right after games. I know who she's looking for. Coach Toffler. But my dad grabs her hand, lowering his voice, because he knows a lot of people are watching him. He's used to it. People have been watching him since he was in high school. Kind of like the way they're starting to watch me.
Honey, we're good, he tells my mom. Caleb is fine. You think I would let anything happen to our boy? He's fine. It was one play. All good. Trust me.
My mom nods. I do trust you, hun. She knows there are some arguments she can't win.
Caleb, my dad says, there's someone I want you to meet.
He nods at another man, talking to a few Walthorn fans. I'd noticed him during the game. He's hard not to notice. The guy is huge, like medium-sized building huge.
This is Brandon Williams, my dad says. We've played pro ball together.
I can feel other people listening to us while pretending not to. I'm used to it because of my dad. But now, with another ex-NFL player added to the mix, it becomes even more obvious. Brandon Williams sticks out his massive hand, and I shake it nervously. He laughs.
Don't worry, kid. I'm not going to mess with that hand of yours. It's attached to a million-dollar arm.
My dad grins.
Brandon was a hell of a D-lineman back in the day, and now he's on the coaching staff up at State. His job is to evaluate and recruit talent, and he likes what he sees.
I'm not sure what my dad is talking about. Brandon sees my confusion and laughs.
Easy, Dinger. You're freaking the kid out.
Dinger is my dad's nickname from his playing days. I guess because it rhymes with Springer.
No one's talking about recruiting a 14-year-old kid. But your boy has some serious talent, that's for sure.
Brandon bends down to about half his height so he can whisper something in my mom's ear. Then he looks back to me.
Hey, kid, he says. You want to join me at a game up at State in a few weeks? We got Auburn coming in. Should be a dogfight. You can watch the game from the coach's booth. Then I'll take you down to the locker room after the game and show you around. You can meet the guys and get a feel for what it's like to play big-time college football. What do you say?
I look at my dad, who nods and grins. I tell Brandon, "That sounds amazing. Thank you." Some part of me knows that what's happening right now is important. My heart races. I'm trying to understand everything that's going on, which is hard because people are pounding me on the back and saying good game, and I don't want to admit it, but my head is still hurting a little bit. It's been hurting ever since number 72 clocked me, and everything feels really loud, even though it probably isn't. And this gigantic guy who played with my dad is basically telling me he wants me to start thinking about playing football at the college where he coaches, and it's all a lot to process. Which might be why I don't think anything of it when my dad starts laughing. After a few seconds, though, I realize it's not his typical laugh, the one that makes everyone feel good. This laugh sounds a little off.
"What about me?"
he asks. We all look at him.
"What do you mean?"
my mom asks.
My dad blinks a few times. "Aren't I invited?"
My mom and I look at each other. Ordinarily, we would both think Dad was joking around. But there's something about the way he's acting that makes us not sure. Neither of us speaks. Brandon does, though.
"Dinger? Buddy? You're kidding, right?"
Dad's face turns red, really red. But then, just as suddenly, he takes a deep breath and the redness fades.
"Ha! Of course I'm kidding. This is going to be spectacular. My boy getting a chance to check out the football program up at State with my absolute favorite teammate of all time showing him around."
A flash of concern crosses his face.
"I can come, though, right? It's okay if I come."
Brandon puts his hand on my dad's shoulder.
"You were too much, Dinger. We wouldn't dream of doing it without you, buddy. Right, Caleb?"
"Of course not," I say. But I'm completely confused. Is it possible my dad actually thought he wasn't invited?
"Ready to go, Sammy?" my mom asks.
My dad grabs her hand and gives her a quick kiss on the cheek.
"In a minute, Kath. Just going to congratulate the coach on the game."
As he walks off, the crowd automatically parts for him, creating a path as he walks toward Coach Toffler. The two greet each other with a big hug, like long-lost brothers, and immediately start yapping away. My mom watches and shakes her head.
"Wow, does your dad love football?"
"That's because it's the greatest game ever invented," I tell her.
"I couldn't agree more, Caleb," Brandon says. "And that passion you have for the game, you can't teach that. It's another thing that's going to help you become something very special in this game."
"Thank you, sir."
"Ha! No calling me sir."
My mom laughs, and as she and Brandon start chatting, more people come up and congratulate me on the game, including my two best friends, Eric Stettler and Jamie Chu.
"Awesome game, dude," Eric says.
"Amazing how comfortable you looked out there,"
Jamie says.
"Thanks, guys," I say. It felt pretty sweet, I gotta admit.
"Hey, someone told me the varsity games are, like, live-streamed now," Jamie says. "So that means you were shredding it for millions watching at home."
Eric turns to Jamie.
"Wait, so your JV games aren't live-streamed?"
Jamie responds by punching Eric in the shoulder. "Next year it'll be you catching my passes," I tell Jamie.
"We'll see,"
Jamie mumbles.
"No, for real."
Eric makes a goofy face.
"And I'll stick my nose in the camera and say, I've known those guys since second grade."
As we all laugh, I see Nina waving at me from the parking lot.
"Yeah, anyway, you guys, I gotta roll," I say.
"Wait, seriously?"
Eric turns and sees Nina.
"Oh, gotcha," he adds, looking a little bummed.
I turn to my dad's college coach friend.
It was an honor to meet you, Mr. Williams.
The pleasure is mine, he says. I'll see you in a few weeks, and we'll have ourselves a time.
I start walking up to the parking lot as...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?